Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast finale. Oh my gosh. Today, Ben is en route to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. So I am here with a Bachelor expert, Chris Bukowski, and his girlfriend, Anna Redman, of Matt James season. These two have been together for a little while now. We're going to get into their relationship later in the show, but of course we have some pressing finale matters to attend to. Hello, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, Ashley. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Chris, I saw you on Twitter yesterday, and you agreed with me on what I think is the most massive moment of the entire finale, which was the whole Avon interrupting Tino's hot seat and then pulling Rachel off. So I'm glad we agree, but also I wonder if we needed a perspective of somebody who is more on the other side, like more team, let's not do teams, but you know what I mean? Who doesn't have as much empathy as we do for Tino in that spot. And I'm just jumping into this scene. We're going to jump. Okay, fine. We shouldn't jump into the scene. But just quick take. What is your quick take on that moment?
I think they should have taken Tino off stage and then had him come on and do what they did. I think it was just so awkward for everyone to watch Tino stand there. But again, okay. I think we have more empathy for anyone who's in that situation just because we've all been there.
Maybe. Okay. So let's, you know, there's like a whole bunch of like filler content in the beginning. Let's go into that final rose ceremony. There's just no doubt in both of our minds that this is going to end in an engagement for Rachel and Tino, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is like
always doubt.
Okay. All right, fine. There's a little doubt, but like the entire time Tino has been like the only guy that is really like, I'm ready for an engagement. And we all know that that is Rachel's like number one priority.
Right.
Oh. Which I think is a bigger red flag if someone's like, yeah, I'm gung-ho for an engagement versus someone being like, let's think about this.
Okay. We'll elaborate on that. Do you think that the premise of the show should be different?
No, but I don't think someone being hesitant or saying that, expressing their feelings towards it is like that big of a red flag.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. Yes.
I would rather someone take it as like, a serious thing and like let's talk about it versus someone being like, yeah, I'll just give you a ring.
There's so much silliness to all of this because Rachel was all about like, I gotta get engaged, right? She gets engaged to Tino. That falls apart. She like gives back the ring. There's like there's a lot of gray area, which again I do want to jump into in a second, but it's a lot of gray area as to when this ring was handed back, when they broke up, if they were on a break. There's like so much, I think, to Tino's side that we're not hearing. And it's just funny because like it sounds as if there was a moment where she wanted to give back the ring to end the engagement that she wanted so, so badly. And then ends up with, and then quote, ends up with Avon in the end, right? So it's like, maybe. He had an idea. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, the two of them get engaged. You can see the entire time. Well, because this is, I think, one of the only proposals that we've ever seen where like, that little yellow square is at the bottom, the entire proposal. It's all given away. Like there's no fluttery feelings. They may have done that on purpose so that we wouldn't get like, we wouldn't feel like really sad about them not being together. But Rachel's face this entire time, whenever there's a live moment, has given away the ending for all of us.
Yeah. Her face didn't move.
We were like, she is so sad right now. She's not happy.
So sad. So not happy. When we saw it, like, honestly, the past 2 weeks we've seen this since Men Tell All. We're just like, something that is not going to go well for her. But yeah, so during the proposal, we know that they're not together because her face tells it all. And then we see her family's face. They're not happy either. And that sucks. You know, like we obviously want Rachel to end up with somebody. I felt something between her and Tino the entire time. How about you guys? Who did you feel like she should have ended up with?
I feel like she had her like mindset on him and that's what was going to happen. He's a great looking dude. It seemed like they got along. But again, I think it came down to him being willing to give her the ring at the end, even if that didn't mean it was the strongest relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think she had her mindset on him. I'm not sure if he had his mindset on her. But, you know, I mean, if there's someone there, you want to pursue them to the fullest. And it's not like you don't want to just do it, you know, to do it if it's not the person you want to end up with. So I think that's kind of where Rachel was at in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of thought. I had like complicated, like a roller coaster of feelings towards Tino the entire time. At first, I was like, oh my God, what chemistry? Like, this is like that guy, that studly guy that you want to see as part of the franchise. Like, he makes the franchise better. You know, like a Tyler C. Like he makes the franchise better.
You look a lot alike. I was thinking that
there's a thing. There's like a vibe, right? There's a vibe. So then, So then I started to feel like he was just a player. I was like, oh man, this guy, like, not here, but he doesn't really like her. Like, I feel like he just wants to win this thing. He's a Bachelor fan. He wants to win. And then I started to really feel like he likes her a lot. And that's where I ended up. That's where I still end up, actually. I still feel like he really likes her.
I know that I'm going to get so much crapola at the end of this episode because people are going to be like, oh my God, Ashley, he cheated on her. He cheated on her. We're going to get to that. Let's get to it now. Anna, go ahead.
I feel like when you're in a public relationship, you have to, or not public relationship, but on this show while you're filming and then after, until like after the final girl is done, you're constantly thinking about optics and like, you hate to say it, but people are going to do what looks best for them. Like, I think Tino had it in his mind, like, if I apologize, if I can get back to her, I can save myself in this situation. Not saying he doesn't like her or doesn't have any feelings, but I do think that is something he was thinking about. I just think for Tino, there might have been slight ulterior motives to just kind of flip the script towards his side in this situation.
Ulterior motives, like as of the motives that we heard that Eric had?
No.
Opportunities?
No, not opportunities. I just think, like, when you're the villain of a season, you're getting a shit ton of shit thrown at you all the time. And I think he knew that was going to happen, and he wanted to just maybe try to take control of the situation a little bit more. And okay. Again, I'm not undermining his feelings. Like, he could be head over heels in love with her. I just think, I don't know, we'll never know exactly.
We'll never know until we have Tino and Rachel on this podcast, which hopefully is going to happen soon. We do have Rachel coming on this week, and we are working on getting Tino. I think it's okay if I say that he and Ben have spoken before. So we have a little of an inside knowledge. We have a side of the story that we feel like we've heard first before last night. So now it creates more of a debate in our head. Anyway, let's go to the cheating part. So what happens is Rachel basically, does she stay on stage? I'm not even sure like how this unfolds, but she basically tells us there's been difficulties, right? It has not been smooth sailing since that engagement. Like maybe they had 2 weeks of pleasantries and then it went to like rocky road and then he cheated on me. That's how we heard it. And it's just like, again, guys, I am not downplaying this kiss. Okay. I really want everybody to know I do consider a kiss cheating for sure. I know people are going to bring up my story with Jared. Yes. I kissed Jared in the airport. It was cheating. But we do get this story only from Rachel herself there, which I think is a little unfair. She's the one that's sitting there solo and says, it got rocky and he cheated on me. Let's go watch the footage. What do you think about that?
They're in a relationship. They're engaged.
Yeah.
I would be pissed if we were engaging and kissed someone. Not saying we wouldn't work through it, but it's like, that's big. That is a big thing. I think she deserves to be upset about that.
Huge. Oh, for sure.
But is it like a relationship ender if you think this is your one and only engaged, we're gonna get married again? I don't know, but also it's like they're in the beginning of a relationship even though they're engaged.
I'm now not being clear enough because I'm not downplaying the importance of this cheating moment. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there's more to this, if she's leaving out lots of parts of the story on that stage without Tino there to interrupt and be like, wait a second, you're missing the time that led me to that moment.
And then at one point they were like threatening each other to drop dirt on stage. The hell is this happening? Like, if anything, just protect your families, protect yourself of certain crap. Obviously you want to, why would you allude to there even being drama? Cause then that's going to be dug up.
Exactly.
So toxic to me. I didn't hold that.
That moment was huge, but it alluded to me even more. There's so much to this story missing. So that's why I was so upset when they had the moment with Aiden, because we're getting, even if like, if he cheated on her, you suck and you don't deserve her. and like I'm not condone like it. You're blah, gross, but I feel like it was particularly cruel to do what they did with Aven coming on stage, because I don't think we got the whole version of the story, because they basically told us we didn't. Mm-hmm. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: is Tino had no shot. You know, obviously Rachel's going to have the opportunity to tell her side of the story. The majority of the and yes, what he did obviously was wrong, and there's nothing okay with that. But there is a lot more to the story. There always is. And he didn't really get the opportunity to kind of say that. And by the time he did get up there and have the opportunity, he had no shot. I mean, he was just also like, she didn't really let him talk much. And I didn't like that. Obviously she was upset and stuff while he was up there, but he didn't really have a shot to apologize. Truly, maybe, I don't know. It wasn't really genuine or whatnot, but I don't think, you know, I think she could have been more receptive of, you know, what he was trying to say. And obviously they both have a lot more to say, which we don't know about. So, you know, I didn't feel bad for him by any means, but I also felt like they went way too far. As far as, yes, they buried that guy. They buried him on stage, and then they did even worse when they brought Aven back onto the stage, which was the most awkward thing I've probably ever seen in the 10 years I've been watching the show.
Like, it wasn't even pleasant to watch. And yeah. I feel like once you get to the finale, you want those warm, bubbly feelings, because you just spent how many months invested in these people? And it's like, they kind of gave us that with Gabby. They, but like,
yeah.
I want to feel like I am being hugged by Bachelor Nation at the end. And that was just like a slap in the face to viewers as well.
It was like my heart was pounding. Like, I felt like I was involved personally, because it felt so intrusive, and it felt such like a bully fest. Like, you know, we've talked in the past about bullying and how the mental health of these contestants, we've done it on these tell-alls. And I just feel like that moment was bullying, because he didn't have like, he was never going to win, right? You're just saying they buried him. He really had no opportunity. Also, he's not quick on his feet. Rachel is just, you know, she knows how to handle a moment like that, and he does not. Also, and then the whole audience.
Yeah. And also, like, the whole, you know, this guy's had so much time to think about this. You know, what am I going to say? How am I going to save myself? Or how do I do this without bringing up stuff that we don't want to bring up? You know, and like, once you get up there and you're trying to explain yourself or say things, it's just, it never comes out the way you want.
Never.
It.
Never.
So, yeah. So he was in a tough spot.
Yeah.
You were talking about it, and I feel like she wants this true apology, but when I was watching him, like, he was. And then she was like, he wrote me a letter apologizing, hopefully he apologizes to him. I'm like,
she ended by saying he didn't even apologize.
And it's like how much more, like, you're gonna drag yourself down even more trying to get this from someone who he's just not gonna give you what you want at this
point. Yeah, I did a poll on my Instagram last night. Let me pull up what the current numbers are. Okay, so I said, what are your thoughts on the moment? Was it cruel, spiteful, and unnecessary, or he deserved it? So 68% say it was cruel, spiteful, and unnecessary, and 32% said that he deserved it. The show, regardless of like what their thoughts were in that moment, they definitely got chatter. They got chatter. We are all talking about it. We all felt something in that moment. And, you know, I guess there's a thought. The other thing that I wanted to point out was that there was like, I'm all about the female empowerment. We love our bachelorettes. Love them. They typically stay with their final person longer. And they typically just handle the entire experience with more grace and poise and intelligence. And I, you know, love the girls in the audience. We had Becca, Michelle, and Caitlin. I do feel like it was a little bit of a girl gang thing.
I feel like they were trying to set it up so that they'd have three bachelorettes that it didn't work out with. They're in quote support of Rachel. Even though, and then they're all going to be on her side. And I just felt like it was a little bit like, okay, I love that we support our girls, but also let's not like bring down men. Like let's not tear down men while supporting women. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like what if we reverse this?
Yo.
And we embarrassed a woman like this. If a girl kissed one of our bachelors and then we had him get escorted out by his runner up, no, like there'd be the whole fandom would be up in arms. It seems like 68% of people did not like it. But I would say it was 100% would not like it if it was a girl.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Everything that you see on these shows, it's calculated. It's calculated by producers. It's calculated to get you to feel a certain way. And I think the show knew that they were going to do this extreme thing and they wanted to back it up, seeing like it was an empowering girl moment. And that's why they had them in the audience. And then even if like you saw their TikToks, like I think it was, like you said, it was all set up to look a certain way for optics.
You know what I thought would have been more empowering for women or just in general for the show? Is if she actually, I'm not saying forgave him for everything he did, but at the end, forgave him. Like, okay, like, I'm moving on with my life.
Yeah.
I forgive you. This happened. This was, you know, that's the past. Like, mm-hmm. Let's move on. Don't drag this guy. Don't bring this other man on the stage. And, like, there's no lesson to be learned in that whole thing. Like, you know, forgiveness is a lot more difficult than saying, you know, I'm
sorry. Screw you.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought that would have been a nice moment, and obviously, you know, it's tough when that happens to you, but man, if she was able to forgive him at the end of that, he walks off, then, you know, Avon comes on and they have this whole thing, then I thought that would have been a real nice touch for the show.
Wouldn't we have all felt better about that? Like, we'd felt good. We'd be more in support of whatever happens with Avon. It just would have given us more of that Bachelor ending that we crave.
But I think the show could have, like, coached her to do that if they wanted that to happen versus the mess that we saw last night. They could have been like, we think like you should forgive him. Like, we all know that they put things in people's ears and you end up doing that, especially at these tell-alls, and I don't know how much I can spill, but they could have coached her a little more to have that warm fuzzy ending that I think we all wanted.
Well, there's no doubt that we got ended with Gabby because we get the quote warm fuzzy ending. However, I was so traumatized.
I know. Yeah.
By the other moment that I couldn't enjoy it. My dad was like,
too. They're like, go grab more wine. It's like, well, I don't want to be stressed tonight. I want to feel good.
Also, yeah.
They just booted Rachel. Like, it was like, all right, we're done with Rachel. Yeah. And like, you never saw her again after like she left with Avon, you know?
Felt weird.
Yeah. Okay. I can't get over this. So I'm just going to keep talking about it. We have to talk about Tino's face. Like, the demoralization that was occurring was just so heartbreaking. Like, again, I don't care. Even if you're like a crappy person, or let's not even call him a crappy person. Let's just call him somebody who made a big mistake. Mm-hmm. There's no need to just totally destroy, humiliate, demoralize somebody like the way that they did with this. And it was all over his face, which was so heartbreaking to me. And I know people are out there going to be like, but Ashley, he demoralized her by kissing another girl. Totally respect that side. I'm not saying I don't see it, but again, it's not like one hurt cancels out another hurt, you know, whatever that expression is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how'd you guys feel just looking at his face? It looked like he was on the verge of tears. Like, I thought he was going to start crying, which.
Mouthing like, can I be done? Are we done? Like, can this be over? Like, that's what he was mouthing. And I just was like, ugh. Cause like, that's the worst. He's standing in an audience that is booing him. He basically just got slapped in the face by someone else taking his girl, but not his girl, but.
Yeah.
Also, like, didn't get anywhere with this conversation that he probably intended to have. It was just like whammy after whammy after whammy.
I'm also going to go on a limb here and say that Avon probably didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
100%. He did not. I was just clapping and dropped my mic. Yes, he did not.
I would never do that. I would, you know, if they're like, you should do this. I'm like,
I bet he didn't know Tino would still be out there.
Did they have any friendship?
I don't even think it matters. You just don't do that to like a person.
Any human.
Yeah, it's just brutal.
But it seemed like once he walked out there, I think once he saw the situation too, it was almost like, because it wasn't as sweep you off the feet, Prince
Charles. Oh.
Like, it was kind of timid for what the moment was supposed to be. And I think it's because he realized Tino was out there and he didn't
Anna,
think
he was out there. Anna, there's a good chance, just knowing how things unfold, that Aven did not know. Yes. I really don't think he knew. And once he stepped out, you 1000%. I don't even have to say it again. What you said was perfect. He did not. He was like, oh God, how am I'm so embarrassed that I am doing this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make this move. I think this move is gross. And then Rachel's face, I didn't like Rachel's expression. Rachel was like, my moment. Moment. She had no empathy at all. And I don't know. Maybe I would be like that. Because when I try to put myself in moments like this, I know myself. I'm not perfect. I'm not an angel. There's lots of times where I just want to get back at someone. And that would have been one of the Bachelor moments that I just wanted to get back at someone. I maybe have smiled and had that vindicated feeling too. Mm-hmm. I need to like put myself in that position. But I just feel like in the position of me sitting here, I was just like, oh my God, I don't care if he kissed another girl. I would have been so sad for him. And I wouldn't want him to be embarrassed like this. But then again, I'm trying to see both sides. And I may have responded under the spotlight the way that she did.
I'm thinking if someone who really hurt me, I would smile. Like, and also it's
see?
Like, it's kind of like when, if you watch Crime Junkies or anything or listen to it, they're like, you never know how you're going to react.
Yes.
Are you going to smile? Are you going to laugh awkwardly? Are you going to cry? Like, you never really know. So I don't want to put too much weight into her reaction, but.
Also, this was her last time to really, you know.
Do anything
in a positive light for herself. So I think she was trying her best
to
make sure.
She still wants a happy ending.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I probably would have been like, screw you. Look at this shining moment for me. I know myself well enough to know that I probably would have responded the same. So forget my initial comment. So guys, one last thing before we move on from this. I did find a tweet last night that I thought was super interesting. It was a response to one of mine. This person said, isn't it wild that we are supposed to be pleased with Aven popping up like it's some happy ending? Yet last time we saw him, he was accused by Rachel of leading her on while he was saying that he wasn't ready to get engaged. How long is our collective attention span?
I saw that one.
Zero.
I guess the last time they technically were together, they were like, I'm sorry. On that night, on that, you know, finale hot seat. But let's not forget the conversation that broke them up.
Right.
Yeah. No, it is interesting to comment on Bachelor Nation's attention span because it's like zero. Things get flipped. They forget. Like, even remember, like, filming. I was like, my ponytail wasn't up when we were doing this and you're doing another ITM. Yeah. Like, the audience won't notice. And guess what? They didn't. Like,
yeah.
As much as Bachelor Nation loves being sleuths and like looking into things because it's fun. Paying attention to details doesn't really happen as often as we think or we'd like to think it does.
Oh yeah, 1000%. And another thing that I would have loved to hear from Jesse, which obviously the timing wasn't right, but I would love to, I guess, talk to Rachel about when she comes on this podcast is, what are your thoughts now on getting engaged at the end? Do you think it's as much of a must as it was? Or do you think that Aven may have had a point?
Yeah, I think we all want to hear the answer to that question. I think hindsight's 2020. You grow, you learn. Things that you wanted a couple months ago might not be the same, especially after she's gone through all of this, which is like such a life-changing, mind-changing thing. Her answer will probably 100%.
1000%, because I am a totally different
person, especially emotionally, and like how I process my emotions because of this show. So I just think that that was probably one of the biggest lessons she got from it, was just being like, ah, let's prioritize the solidarity of the relationship instead of the.
And they even said, like, on TV, he was the whole, again, when they were going back and forth, and he was like, well, I went to therapy for you. Like, so obviously they're both trying to work on themselves, but it was just weird that Dirty Laundry was aired a little.
I'm going to take a break right now because I want to talk, guess what? Just a little bit more about this, and then we'll move on to Gabby. See you in a sec. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
And we're back. And Anna just had a great thought before the break. She was talking about how they went to therapy, or like, did they collectively go to therapy, or was she going through therapy? And he was like very supportive of that because she was going through a really tough time. She did say multiple times, I was going through a really tough time around the premiere of the show.
Mm-hmm. Which I think what you said where she went, which is great. Like, especially going through this, like I went through therapy, all the, I don't think you can be a lead on the show or even like a crucial character and not have a hard time mentally with it.
Yeah.
So applaud her all the way for going to therapy.
1000%.
Is that something that she wanted out there? Because I feel like he said it. I don't know. It's, again, they were just airing each other's dirty laundry and it felt like they were just trying to hurt each other up there versus find a conclusion.
Chris, it looks like you have thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think you like throw that out there as something like, hey, I did this, so I deserve this, right? Yeah, we go to therapy, you know, first for ourselves, because, you know, if you're not right with yourself, then there's no way you can be right in a relationship. But I don't think you should use it as a crutch, you know, as like, hey, like I went to therapy, like I'm better, you know, I'm better than you for I was working on myself and all that stuff.
Do you think that that's how she used it?
I personally, yes, to an extent. And like very, you know, kudos to her for going and working on herself. The hardest thing is to actually admitting that you need to go to therapy or you need therapy for help. But I also don't think it should be thrown around like that as, you know, something that she can almost use as an excuse that she was doing more than he was, you know, in the relationship.
Like weaponizing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like that is that exactly. Exactly. Do you guys have anything to say about the moment where they're in the house and he brings out the, like what we're going to call just the Bachelor Burn Book or the Rachel Burn
They're
Book.
Always moleskins. They're always moleskins. If you look at the notebook.
That was the first thing I saw. It's like, you know, we were just sitting down and I see him walking in with this notebook. I'm like, oh man, he brought notes. This is for him. Do we know what was even in there?
I think he just
like three bullet points.
Yeah, bullet points. I get the intention of wanting to bring notes because, like, I don't know. I can't keep my mind straight, especially in an argument.
There's also zero chance that he probably wanted to bring that notebook in with him.
They were probably like, write down your thoughts. Yeah. Write down everything you want to say and bring it to her.
Yeah.
We know. But yeah, just it was all, again, nothing about the ending for those two felt good. Nothing felt good. It all felt icky watching all of it. And like, you want to be like, yeah, girl, give back that ring. But for some reason, how they edited and filmed whatever on the back end, it didn't come off well.
For years.
Mm-hmm. And they've done it before. Mm-hmm. They've done it with Becca and where you, or like Hannah Ann, where you have these empowering. Yes.
Oh my God, the Hannah Ann moment was so good.
Why do we not like this one versus the other two? Is it times have changed or like what's going on here?
That's, but again, I think that goes back to my initial argument. We feel like something's missing.
Yeah.
And I now want to deep dive into what could have been missing because, again, they alluded to it. You go, both of them on stage. Do you want to get into that now? Do you really want to do that on TV? I thought basically they said like the crux of it as what Rachel was referring to as difficulties. So vague. And they were like, they basically had a pact that like, no matter what, they weren't going to go into on TV in respect, but then you don't give it to us.
I know. Don't give us nuggets to sit and like, now it's going to be worse. We're going to be like thinking the worst things happen in this relationship when it's probably just personal shit that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah.
But as you can, it's totally okay to keep things to yourself, even when you're in the limelight, you need to have those boundaries for yourself. And I 100% respect that for both of them.
So if we respect so much, we will not do the dirty and speculate what it was about.
I think we can all just, they probably had a really rough time and we've all had rough times in relationships. And yeah, it was probably hard because again, you're starting off on this deep into a relationship, but really how much do you know each other?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not that strong foundation that a lot of relationships have by the time big things get brought up. And I can see how that can shake
things
and make it really difficult.
Did you guys sense any like of her talking down to him?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But again, I think I would talk down to if you hurt me, I would be like,
yeah, but
boo, boo, boo. I would be nice.
Having those conversations already happened. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's like, why, you know, why bring it on stage? Obviously, it's a show, but why make it even way worse, you know, than it already is? Obviously, that's what we live for and stuff. But
I think
there's the point. It's like, all right, I want to be the one that's right at the end of this. I want to be the one that looks the best at the end of this. And I think a lot of the emotion that, you know, came out of Rachel was partially that. And that's, you know, just kind of my opinion on that.
And I think it goes back to what you said before. I think everything would have been better if there was an accepted apology. Like, I'm not going to choose you in the end. This isn't going to be fixed, but I accept your apology. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you know what? Maybe it wasn't even so much like a talking down to. I guess it was that normally when we see these, it's more of a fight. It's more of like his side, her side. And in this case, it just didn't seem like Tina was... Well, it seemed like Tino wasn't prepared to fight back.
Yeah.
He was just like, I will sit here and get crushed and then my life will return back to normal and I will go into hiding.
Yeah.
He was a sponge.
It was acceptance of crushing. There just was no fighting back, which I think, or, you know, there was like maybe a small attempt, but like, it's just, there was a powerhouse and then a weak house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was inverse the world.
He couldn't have fought back. It would look worse. And honestly, he's probably sick of it. Like, they had the exact same conversation in the house that they had on the chair, and nothing
was. They did.
It wasn't like there should have been a little more molding or prepping of that conversation, so something else would happen.
Mm-hmm. And before I leave this conversation, I do want to say that, like, I know people will give us lots of crap. Again, I'm saying this again, that people give us lots of crap for defending a cheater. And again, I'm not really trying to defend a cheater here. I'm really not. I think that there was just a lot that was missing and I wanted a lot more context. And I do want to watch the show back again. I really, really wanted to watch that part again and like analyze everything. So I am an open book. Please send all your thoughts to me about what unfolded and tell me where I'm wrong and all that. I actually got a text from one of my best friends this morning. She had no idea. Like, she didn't see me on social media at all responding to this. She goes, I need to know how you feel about Tino and Rachel on stage with Aven. I have never been so happy with that. I hate cheating of any kind. And I was really not taking, and he really wasn't taking responsibility. And when Aven came out, I was so happy, all caps, mainly because Rachel was so happy. And that's why I watched the show for a happy ending. But I know some people feel bad, but that should expose him and make him feel like an ass. Make him feel stupid on live TV. He got engaged, kissed another girl. I was shocked and happy, but never did feel bad. I'm an Aries and I'm heartless. And but wow, I'm shocked. Enjoy Italy. Have lots of pasta, wine, and gelato.
I guess, yeah, there's two sides. I guess
there is
6% you said that were really happy to watch it. I just think, again, after you've been in a position of just having thrown at you, you have more empathy towards someone.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I remember watching the show before I went on, I'd probably been like, same as her. Yeah. But again, I think we've all seen the repercussions of what happens after that TV show turns off, and like the DMs you get, the letters you get, your family getting death threats. Like, that's not what we want. And I think from our end, we're saying could have been a little nicer.
Right. What was missing was Tino's dad, Mr. Franco. That's who wasn't there last night. And I thought he was going to be the next Barb. But now I think about it more and I think about how this ended and I'm like, nah, they didn't need that extra layer there. So what'd you guys think about his absence?
Yeah, because Barb was in Peter's corner and Peter was the main character. So that made sense.
Ah, the main character. Love that.
Tino's dad doesn't need to be there and we don't need to throw any more hate towards that. I don't think they needed it. I don't think they needed it at all. But I'm guessing from a Tino's perspective, would have been nice to have someone in his corner.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. And like optics from the audience, like when everyone's booing, I bet Tino's dad would have been like, you all.
Oh my God. They would have had to have that 7-second delay would have had to have been on.
That would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been good TV. They should hire us.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well guys, guess what? We just spent 40 minutes analyzing the Tino and Rachel showdown. And after this break, we are going to discuss Gabby and Eric. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that's just speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley.
Is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
All righty. We have got to talk about Gabby and Eric. So were you guys surprised to see him get down on one knee? I was a little surprised because we had that freak out moment where we weren't sure whether or not he was ready to get engaged. But I will say the little yellow box and a lot of Gabby's expressions along the way during the live show made me feel like she was very happy
And so I wasn't as surprised at that moment to see him get down on one knee that I would have been, you know, last week.
I've been more surprised by Paradise engagements than by that engagement last night. So not super surprised, but again, there's always doubt.
Yeah.
I wasn't that surprised because I feel like obviously that's the end goal here in the show. And, you know, even he talked about how, you know, he never watched the show and it was going to be really hard for him to, you know, get an engagement at the end of the show. But I mean, if you feel it, you feel it.
I'm kind of sick of that narrative. I feel like we've seen it a lot lately in the past couple seasons. Of like,
what's that?
Well, I'm not ready to get engaged. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's like literally the point of the show. Play along. Just play along.
That has been a big narrative. You're like, right.
Can we think of other narratives to push versus like people unsure about getting engaged?
Yeah. There's like there's more concerning things we could come up with for people.
Yes, but to that point, when you go on the show, before you're like, I am so ready to get engaged, like, yes. But when it gets to the serious point of the show and you're like, holy shit, I might get engaged after this, then you start thinking, well, am I ready to get engaged? You don't really think like that until that opportunity is in front of you. So it's completely different.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing that up, because you have been in that point of the process multiple times, as Anna and I have not been.
So
great. Okay, thank you for bringing us into Bachelor reality. Now
I guess the real question is, were you guys shocked to see them, what seems to be happy now after lots of things have come out about him? The blackface moment wasn't brought up. Kind of interesting. The moment that I thought would really shake their relationship was the text thing that came out this week. You guys are familiar, but I will recap for the fandom. Last week, there was a girl that came out that said that she and Eric were dating before the show, and that it was he wanted to get back together with her after the show because he said, it's just a show. It's in my priority here is to get opportunities. You know, it's all pretty much fake. They even showed the text on the screen. I thought it was crazy that they showed the text on the screen. I was like, bravo, this is good. This is good stuff. This is like, let's have him respond to it directly. And he did, you know, he said like, he didn't really understand the show until he was on it. Didn't really understand the feelings that he could like develop on the show. And he did say that he effed up. And like, he said sorry, you know, right? He said sorry. But I guess my question here is, do you think that it rattled their relationship, especially it coming out last week? Like, do you think that he ever said this to Gabby before it came out this week? My answer is no, I don't think this ever came up to Gabby until last week. And two, do you think that it rattled him or rattled them more than it appeared? And my thought is it did. And it was just like, oh man, the live show is right around the corner. My Dancing with the Stars premiere is right around the corner. I'm not dealing with this right now. But I think they probably had a very, very rough week.
But they did say they talked about it before.
Oh, so they did?
Like a straight up lie then.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed that. Okay.
She was like, he brought it up to me before we even saw these texts surface. So like, he's been nothing but upfront, which I believe him. Like, I'm horrible at dumping people. So I get his excuse of like, oh, I'll come back to you.
He was like, I wasn't that into her.
I don't know. I believe what he was saying. It's crappy, but it's like not the worst. It's not going and kissing another girl while you're engaged.
Right.
Again, this comes back to like, you don't know what you're getting yourself into until you're like getting close to the end and things get serious. So if he's like, hey, like, I'm just going to go and I'll probably be gone by week three and we'll come back and, you know, maybe I'll get some Instagram ads out of this. We can get back to our relationship. But I mean, he obviously likes the girl, but I do think it's rattled. I still think there's going to be, you know, that's going to kind of come up. The whole blackface thing that wasn't brought up.
Was it not brought up last week either? Like, that's
that's crazy. He did apologize on Instagram last week, but for the show not to bring it up.
They 100% put the text on the screen to distract people. Again, attention span is short. A lot of people fall for it, but it.
What text on the screen?
Oh, the text message. The text message on the screen.
Yeah, that was like a shocking moment. Both of us were sitting there. We're like, they're not going to show it. They're not going to show it. It's like, holy crap. Are we on, what's the Springer?
Jerry Springer.
Are we on Jerry Springer?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was a smoke and mirrors show for the show to, again, just, they obviously haven't handled situations in the past the best, but it's even worse when you don't even acknowledge it.
I mean, I don't think that the Matt and Rachel issue was dealt appropriately, like, you know, it perfectly at all. And I don't think this was handled. And it's just amazing that in 2 years, not even, we had that moment where she's, you know, in a dress, and then we have a blackface moment, and they're just one completely 180.
They could have given him, like, obviously it deserves more than this, but anything's better than nothing. They could have given him a minute to talk and kind of show, like, this was wrong. But by not bringing it up, it's like the show's kind of condoning it.
I don't want him canceled. Like, I'm not saying that at all. Like, I'm not into that. But but it's just like, it's crazy that the difference in the situations.
I agree with that. Like, if you do it to someone, then, like, it's got to happen, or there's got to be an opportunity to talk about it or discuss it, or at least bring it up, because you can't do one thing one time and then do it completely different the next time.
Yeah. And it's just hypocrisy. And the show feels like it's taking steps back again, which sucks as a viewer.
All right, guys, I have just minutes left with you, but we must talk about the new Bachelor, and that is Zach. And it's just interesting. I'm just not, this is my problem with it. Zach seems like a super nice guy. I'm not against Zach. I am interested as to why they would pick a bachelor from basically the lowest rated season of The Bachelorette, because all we're going to do is perpetuate the low ratings.
Yes.
Because the people who, you know, we got a small portion of what was Bachelor Nation 5 years ago watching this season. So you're not going to get back any of that old audience by choosing a new guy. I really wanted a throwback, a stunt casting. And when I mean a throwback, I'm not saying far, far back. You don't have to go back like with Ari, but even like, like a Mike Johnson would have been great. Cause he's still a fan favorite. Like he freaking slammed Audrey's coffee shop and lounge, like insanely. Peter, I mean, man, oh man, do we love a Peter Krause. He is a little bit more of a throwback from Rachel's season, but that is a bachelor. You know, like, I would have, if you want the two bachelorettes, then get your two bachelors with Mike and Peter, and then you can have people from multiple seasons coming together. I feel bad for Zach getting any hate, but I think it's just the fandom being like, we need somebody thrilling, and you're a nice guy, but you're certainly not thrilling. Your thoughts?
It's like if you asked an AI system to spit out what the next bachelor is going to look like. It was nothing surprising. It was just, like, boring. I'm huge of, like, let's just throw money at Tyler C and get him to do it, because that would be amazing TV.
Oh, guys, I was on the pay Tyler C train. Like, I was chugging on it. We were like, choo-choo, pay Tyler C, give him anything he wants. It's the only way that I thought you could have truly, picked up the franchise.
Especially he's on podcast being like, I love to date. I love to date women. Dating's my favorite. I swore it was a campaign for him.
Who loves to date?
He would be insane to do it. Absolutely insane to do it.
It would give him nothing. He already has so much.
And you want skeletons brought up and all that BS. Like, that guy would be insane to do it.
I feel like the past couple times there's been a lead, no one's liked them.
People really like Gabby.
It's like the
You're talking about a boy lead? Because, well, I mean, Matt, I personally really enjoy Matt as a human. I think the thing was, people were like, a random bachelor? A bachelor, a friend of Tyler C? Not Tyler C? But, like, you know, he was handsome and we liked Matt, right? But like, we just were like, this guy isn't part of the Bachelor Nation. And then we had Clayton, which literally, no offense to Clayton and everyone, and I hate when people say no offense and then totally demoralize them in the next sentence, but like, nobody cared about Clayton. And
I think this is the same thing as Clayton. No one really cares. But yeah, I agree with the should have done a throwback.
She's like 25. Isn't he young?
He's 20. Yeah, he's about to be 26. Okay. Remember, that was like the whole thing in the fantasy suites. It's like, right. Are you ready for engagement? You're so young. You're so young. But Ben and Colton were both 26 as well. As
yeah, but Ben's kids. Like a, like, how is Ben that? I thought Ben was like my age.
The oldest soul of all time. Ben is the oldest soul of all time.
But also Matt was like 27, I think. I don't think age matters.
I don't.
Yeah, but then you're bringing on, what are you bringing on, girls that are 20?
That's why people were pissed about the younger ages, because then it's all girls who aren't ready for marriage. Even though,
well, you guys should go to Bachelor Data. She has a couple posts about this and how, like, at the end of the day, even when people complain about younger ages, we've always been within like a year and a half of the same like median or average age. So kind check
of
it out.
Concept of the show. It's just young people finding.
Love. Yeah.
Older people can't, but
I think it's because the fandom is getting older. I think it's more of a millennial show, but again, Bachelor Data, let us know how you feel, how the actual stats play out. All right, I need to wrap this, but I also cannot leave you without talking about your relationship, so I'm going to take a quick break and then get back to your love. Give us the fairy tale ending that we didn't, well, we got half of yesterday, so 1 second. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
And we're back with Anna Redmond and Chris Bukowski. Y'all, how did you meet? How did you fall in love and move in together?
Are we living together?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were living together. Yeah?
We are. Joe and Serena kind of set us up. We were both single and sad around the holidays.
And in Chicago? You're both from Chicago. Well, Chris has lived everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
He was living in Colorado, but his family's here, so he was back, I think it was around Thanksgiving time. We went on a date. It went well. We like each other. And then,
Here's what happened. We'll make this quick and sweet. All right.
But also make it romantic. Okay. We have another Bachelor Nation couple here. It's something to, as Ben would say, celebrate.
You know what? It's not that romantic to start because we like got really sick together and all this.
Oh yeah. We both had our second date. We had the stomach flu. It was awful, but also
you suffered through it together
in a hotel room.
We were in Vail. That's gonna sound weird that was our second date, but it was a long distance relationship. So the way to see each other was like kind of to go on a trip, and we both got to Vail and we got so sick. Like, thank God the bathroom was kind of like in a way separate area. Like, we had this cool suite. Otherwise, I think I would have tapped out. Like,
It was bad.
It was so bad. But it was kind of funny because at the end of it, we're like, okay, if we just went through that and we still have feelings for each other.
Yes.
Like, it's good. And then, yeah, he just kept flying out to see me. We flew back and forth. And then now we're in the same city living together. So it's great.
Yeah. But mad thanks to Joe, because we were sitting at a bar and he's like, you should text or DM Anna. And I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about, because I really didn't watch the show. And I'm like, oh, she's, you know, pretty, my type, and whatever that is. But yeah, but my type now. he's like, message her right now. So I DM'd her on Instagram and he's like, you have to go out with her tonight. But she was in Minnesota. Yeah. So we set up a date for the following week. And went on a date and then kind of reconnected like 3-4 weeks later in Vail and got really sick together. And then that's it.
That's history.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy. Right when I sat down, I was like, dang, he's cute.
Yeah. Did you? Okay. Well, you guys live together, so I'm allowed to ask you this. Like, tell us the moment that you said, I love you.
It was pretty far in.
Was it?
It was like 3 months.
For me, it was like around Valentine's Day, which was January.
Yeah, December. He definitely was more vocal at first, and I was like kind of scared. But then it was just like, I don't know, love is love, and it like hits you, and you're like, holy crap, this is great, but also terrifying. So, yeah, this doesn't sound great.
But I love it. Did you? So like, you're moving in. You've been in the same place for now for how long?
Well, we basically lived together since April. We haven't like spent time apart since Valentine's Day, because we'd be going back and forth. Like, I'd spend a week in Colorado and then he'd come and spend like a month in Chicago crashing at my place with my roommate. It was quite the situation. And then he was back here in Chicago. He has a condo here, so he was living there for a while. And then we were just never apart. And that his friend wanted to move into his place and we were like, should we do it?
She was saying like, oh, let's do it next March. I'm like, I would have moved in with you like 6 months ago.
I was like, really?
Aww.
I was like, okay, let's do it.
How cute. Okay, well, my next question was gonna be like, is there any like living situation like annoyances so far? But I guess like not really. Or come on. Or
he doesn't put his hangers back and he knows that drives me nuts.
Okay. It's not a good deal.
That's it.
Do you put your hangers back after you take it down?
You put the hangers where the empty hangers are, so they all don't get lost.
I'm actually 50-50 on this. Sometimes I'll keep it on the chair so that like I have the hanger there when I go and hang up my clothes at the end of the day, or then sometimes I do put it back with like it hanging up so that I can like see where the spot was.
Exactly, Ashley. That's what I do. I put the hanger where I took the shirt off.
Takes the shirt off.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sitting out like it's not in line.
Oh, then I am team Chris on this, because I like to sit, like the whole point is so that I know where the hanger is when I hang it up at the end of the day.
It's okay. I put it back for him.
All right. Well then Chris, what does Anna do that's annoying to you?
Well, our sleep schedules and our diets are completely different, but
okay.
She slurps her food, like her soup, her cereal.
That's a bad one.
Pretty loud. But it's cute, at least when she does it. Like, I can't even eat dinner with my dad because he slurps his soups or like his food so loud. So
if it's hot, how do you not slurp it? You're gonna burn your tongue.
That's so funny.
But yeah, those are our biggest grievances with each other. Hangers,
not bad. not bad. I told Jared the other day, he was like, the way he eats ice cream is like so funny. It's not disgusting or anything. It's almost like he almost treats it like it's like gold going into his mouth. And I'm like, the other day, I've always said to him like the past couple months, I'm like, the way you eat ice cream is so funny. It's like, you just like, eat it like it's like a treasure. And then the other day I was just like in a mood and I was like, I hate the way you eat ice cream.
You should see her eat. Like, we have these freeze pops. It's the most obnoxious thing ever.
Oh, he does the freeze pops too, like the old 90s things that are long and he pushes them through. He does he eats those like multiple times a day.
I'm like, I get that you're enjoying it, but like, can you enjoy it a little bit quieter?
Put your fingers back and maybe.
Okay, that might be an issue that grows. We'll see. But guys, I do think that you are a very cute couple, and I have really enjoyed and appreciated you being here with me today. I think that we're on the same page about a lot of things. We had a really good, thorough, understanding conversation of what went on, and I'm just glad that I got to do it with you.
Yeah. Aww. Thanks for having us, Ashley. And be sure to say hi to Jared too.
I will. All right.
Have fun in Italy.
Yes.
Thanks. I'm excited. I'll go slurp my gelato and my pasta.
Real good.
See you guys.
All right. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.